Bibles, if you will, to the book of Matthew, the book of Matthew. What a blessing it is to be involved in your missions conference, to be a blessing to be in your church, involved with Help Ministries. We do appreciate it. All us missionaries wouldn't be able to do this without the help of Help Ministries and the support of them. So we're very, very thankful for the opportunities that we get. And just let me say, on behalf of all the missionaries, you have been such a blessing to us, coming up to us, talking to us, encouraging us, wanting to know about our kids, wanting to know about our ministries, our countries, our families. It means a lot. Yeah. And it's from the heart which really means something. So we appreciate you, and I know all the men are the same. You have been so good to us, so kind to us, and we do appreciate it, and we won't forget it.
Yeah.
So praise the Lord for you. Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew chapter 9, familiar passage in Matthew 9. We're going to talk for a few minutes about missions has to have an effect. It has to, what happens here this week or what's happened here this week has to change you, has to change us as a people, has to change your church, has to give you a better focus, a better desire, a better heart for what we're doing. So we're going to read a couple of verses, starting at verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness of every disease among the people. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he saith unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's his harvest. You know what? We will never love people the way he loves them. But that is our goal. We need to do his business. You know, the big picture of Christianity is missions, is seeing people reached and saved with the gospel. That's missions. You know, you've heard a lot about schools, you've heard a lot about addictions ministries, you've heard a lot about people with AIDS and all these different problems and all that. Really, that's not the issue. The issue is the gospel. The issue is going and reaching people with the gospel, with the good news. Training them, discipling them, seeing them baptized, and then training them and introducing them to missions so they go and reach somebody else.
Yeah.
You see, we need to get to a place where missions has an effect on us. I think the problem of missions is, and I've enjoyed being here, and I love missions conference, and I get to be involved in a lot of missions conferences and churches when they're doing stuff on missions, and I love it. But what I see is sometimes our missions mindset only lasts the week that the missions conference is being held. And then we move on to the next thing in life, whatever that might be. And, you know, the sport starts back up. The team start meeting again. The church has something else planned. It's going to be Christmas before we know it. You know, I was in a thrift store with the men the other day, and they had Christmas decorations, and I'm going around singing Christmas hymns in the shop. I didn't realize it. You know, stuff just gets a hold of us and takes over. But we can't get past this week.
Yeah.
We can't get past this week because this week is the most important week in your church calendar.
Yeah.
It needs to be the most important week of your life.
Right.
You know, it's the week where you get to see what God's doing around the world. And we have had the privilege of seeing many men stand here and tell you what God is doing in their countries.
Yeah.
And how God is reaching people. And the report from Cuba, what a blessing that was, that report from Cuba, to hear what God's doing there. And you know what? If God can do it there, he can do it in my place.
Yeah.
And he can do it in your place.
Amen.
And he can do it in his place.
Yeah.
Because God's the same everywhere.
Amen.
And that's what we need to look for. So are your eyes connected to your heart? Is what you're hearing going down to your heart? Are you seeing a bigger picture of what's going on? You know, when I look at what Jesus is doing here in Matthew chapter 9, it touches me because I see his example and I want to be like Christ. That's when God saved me, he's been trying to make me into an image of his son. He's trying to make me like him. He's trying to chip away the old latent all the time and chip away so I act and think and respond more like him.
Right.
So when I see this passage, I begin to think, what am I going to do with a passage like this? How is it going to impact me? How is it going to have an effect on me? And it's challenging. I suppose love is the key to all that we do. Duty will only get us so far. It will only last so long. You know, you can get a preacher up here and he can pound the drum about what you should do, what you should do. You're commanded to go. And we are. But it won't keep us there. And it won't keep you all year long. But you know what will keep you? Love.
Yeah.
Love will keep you when things go dark. Love will keep you when things get hard. So let's look at the passage. You know, it's important where we go. That's point number one. It's important where we go. You know, in Matthew 16:15, familiar verse, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's to everybody in every place. Doesn't matter what color their skin is or what they're doing in their life. But that's not easy. But it's important where we go. At the heart of missions is a command to go. You know, it's such a familiar verse. It often loses its impact on us. But you know what, I was preaching in a prison in Scotland one time, Greenock Prison, and I got to preach to all the prisoners in the prison. It was wonderful. And then all the prisoners got taken back to their cell, and I was just rejoicing, happy about what God was doing. And the prison officer said to me, you need to hold on, there's one more group we want to bring down. And I'm like, one more group? Why didn't they come down with the other group? And he says, they're the sex offenders that are coming down. Those people that are in for vile crimes are coming down. You know what I thought? I thought, that's not who I want to be preaching to. They don't deserve to be helped. They're in here for the crimes that they've done, and they deserve what they get. And you know what? That still small voice just penetrated my heart, and God, with his skillful scalpel, attacked my heart.
Amen.
And he said, Leighton, you didn't deserve it either.
Amen.
You didn't deserve the gospel either.
That's right.
But somebody gave it to you. And you know what? I preached as hard as I could and as lovingly as I could to that group of men. And you know what? We need to preach to everywhere, everybody, everywhere. It's important where we go. The second point is, it's important why we go. It's important why we go. Do you know God commands us to go? But he says this in his word. He says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. But God commanded his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
You know what? It's all about love. God loves the lost. And more than we can ever express in a sermon or a message or a missions conference, God loves the lost.
Amen.
And love is why he paid such a high price is because he loved us so much. Love is why I'm commanded to go. Love is why you're commanded to go. Love is why you should pray. And love is why you should give. You know what? We need to get a heart that wants to give, that has a desire to give. You know what? You will never be a successful Christian until you're involved in missions, until it becomes part of your life, until you're going or you're sending somebody or you're putting your money in or you're praying for somebody. You will never be all that God wants you to be until we get to that place. Look at chapter 30, or verse 35 of Matthew 9. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages. Do you know what? He didn't wait for the people to come to him. And if we wait for the people to come to us, you know what? We're going to be left waiting.
Yes.
We need to go out and reach people.
Amen.
We need to go out and reach people. Too many churches have gotten discouraged about their soul winning program, about their outreach, and they don't go out and outreach. Oh, they're open on a Sunday morning, and some of them are closed on a Sunday night, but they open on a Wednesday night. We need to be going out. You know what? We're not to just stay in. This is just a place where we meet. The real work happens outside of here. We need to go out. You know, in Luke 14:23, the Lord said unto the servant, go ye into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. You know what? God wants us to go and reach the addicts, the lepers, like Brother Paul, the AIDS victims, the down and outs, the people that the world rejects.
Yes.
Jesus loves.
That's right.
And Jesus tells us to go into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. What does it mean to compel somebody? It's to drive a force. We need to get somebody and we need to be pressurizing them. You know, the message is so important that we need to be driving them towards that message. Somebody gave the brother 4 gospel leaflets before he went to church. You know what? We need to give out those 4 gospel leaflets. You never know which one it's going to be the next time he's going to get saved. We need to keep going. We need to keep giving. you know, there's tracks on the left-hand side, on the right-hand side, on the left-hand side of the doors as you're going out. They're not there for show. They are there so you take them as you go, and you go give them out. You know what? We need to compel people to come to God. It's such an important mission. We need to do whatever it takes to get them to Christ. You know, it's important where we go, and it's important why we go. But you know what? It's also important what we see when we go.
Amen.
You know, and look at Matthew again. And when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. Can I just ask you, when was the last time you were moved? Stored on the inside by what you saw when you walked around. You know what? We need to be moved by what we see. The missionaries, when they're speaking about their churches and getting saved, it needs to move us. You know, you're hearing many, many stories. It needs to move you. And it needs to move you to a place where you act differently, where you do something different, where you respond different. You know, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved. But he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. You know what? God wants people to have a shepherd. He wants to, be their shepherd. He wants to be them, be all that they need him to be. You know, it's important what we see when we go. You know what? When we're going about our business, isn't it hard to get focused on what's going on out there? Because we're so focused upon our own lives. We're so focused upon what we're doing. We're so focused upon looking down. We're so focused upon ourselves. But you know what? God wants us to look up. God wants us to look up. You know, the harvest is plenteous, he said. There's a harvest there just waiting. He has prepared it. He knows the people in your life and in your town and in your area that are ready to receive him. Mm-hmm. And we need to be actively looking for divine appointments with God. And when we're meeting people, we need to be actively looking to turn the conversation from the day-to-day chit-chat to the gospel. We need to be skilled in turning the conversation to a spiritual conversation, to a gospel conversation. We need to get skilled at that. You know what? At the end of that verse, it says they're having no shepherd. And that was a damning indictment to the religious leaders of the day who should have been shepherding the people to God. What were they doing instead? Too busy with their own stuff. With our where they were at. Too busy with their own lives. Too busy making their own money. Too busy with their own reputations to really, really care about the people in their community. May that not be said of our generation. May it be said of our generation that we lifted up our eyes and went out into the world to reach our generation and done whatever it takes to reach our generation. You know what? God, when God went out and he lifted up his eyes, he saw. Would you lift up your eyes again when you go out of this place today? Would you go around your own life and look at the people around you and lift up your eyes and say, is there somebody that I need to talk to? Is there somebody I've been putting off talking to? Is there a place I need to go to share the gospel with somebody? Have I been dodging the visitation? Have I been dodging the prayer meeting? Have I been missing stuff that I really shouldn't be missing? We need to lift up our eyes. We need to see what God wants us to see. It's important where we go. Every town and every village, everywhere. It's important why we go. Don't let it be just our duty. That will not keep you when things get hard. You need to love the way Jesus loves. It's important why we go. It's important what we see when we go. We need to see the lost. Who did Jesus see when he went? He saw those people that had needs, didn't he? He saw the multitude. He saw the needs that they had. He saw people that had problems in their life. He saw people that were in desperate need of him and in desperate need of what only he could offer. He went healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The world couldn't answer the problem that these people had, but Jesus could. And any problem that people have that we will come across in our world, Jesus is the answer for them. He is the helper. He's the friend of sinners. My favorite name for Jesus, the friend of sinners. He was mocked for being a friend of sinners. You know what? By the religious people that should have been the friend of sinners. You know what? He saw them as sheep, not having a shepherd. So we need to not only, it's important why we go, it's important what we see when we go, but it's vital we go with the right message. We don't go with a message, we're going to fill your tummy. We don't go with a message, we're going to get you off drugs. We're not going with a message that we're going to house you. We're not going with a message that we're going to educate you. We're going to go with a message that God can meet your need, your eternal need. We're going to change people from going to hell to going to heaven. That's why we're going. We can never lose sight of the main focus. You know what's vital? We go with the right message. In 1 Timothy 1:15, it says, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners."
Yeah.
To save sinners. That's why he came.
That's right.
And the last point, it's important that we accept that the responsibility is ours.
Amen.
No angels coming to do it.
Right.
Nobody else is coming to do it.
Amen.
It's us. The responsibility is ours.
Amen.
The responsibility will not be placed on anybody else. The challenge to us is, will you go? Will you even consider going? Would you spend some time this week before God with your Bible open asking God, "God, would you call me? Could you use me?" And if you would be open to God's call, you know that still small voice that has spoken to my heart so many times could speak to you. And he might call you to be one of his laborers. But you need to pray. Isn't that what the verse said? Pray ye therefore.
Yes.
It's our responsibility to pray, and God will call. Would you pray this week, preacher?